heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor. Honor.
Our soul. Soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
And now, Malcolm.
I'm very, very proud to be the nominee of the Republican Party.
President Trump accepts the nomination for his second term for President of the United States, and now we have a race. Both the RNC and the DNC are in the bag now. And now it's going to be an interesting cycle ahead. The next stop will be the debates as they happen at the end of September. We're about a month out from that, and it's going to be fascinating to see if that comes off. A lot of people are predicting that something's going to come up between now and then, and you see Speaker Pelosi has already set the table for that, and there'll be a lot more to say about that. It's going to be interesting because if Biden does pull out for whatever reason or something else happens, there's going to be a lot of explaining to do. And I don't think that he's going to be able to pull that off. Certainly Americans will be on to the game that's being played. They're already on to the game, but this will be a real assault on democracy is what this will be. So I don't think there's much of a chance he can pull out, but I think they will be looking for something that might come up. I'll say to you this, the next 5 months are going to be one of the most interesting periods of time in our nation's history. And I'm talking between now and next January. That's so right, January 2021. And I know a lot of people are anxious to see 2020 go away. It's been a pretty rough year for most everybody. I don't know anybody in my hemisphere who says this has been a great swell year, man, bring it on. I think there's been a lot of hurt and pain out there from a lot of people. It's impacted everybody in one way, shape, form, or another. Everybody's life has been impacted with whatever, not just the pandemic, but with all of the unruliness and restlessness out there in the Republic. You talk about, as I've been saying the last days to you, the tale of two conventions, the tale of two Americas. Well, I'll tell you, this is pretty as clear as day. You just see the images in your mind of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris coming out with the black mask on and the timidness and the awkwardness, as we talked about yesterday. And now you see a different atmosphere entirely, which, of course, many people were criticizing the president. They're not social distancing. They don't have their mask on. They're not doing X, Y, Z. You expect that those criticisms are going to happen no matter what the president does. There's not much he could do that they would celebrate. I can't think, well, there is something he could do, probably resign and leave office. They'd have a party then. But short of that, I don't think there's much the president could do to enlighten this group because there's a lot of hate out there, sadly. And that hate is flowing over in our streets. It's flowing over throughout our nation. Now, I think a lot of these narratives, a lot of these stories get confused, and they tend to try to pin them all on the president. And of course, the president, in many of these cases, has nothing to do with a lot of the violence and the stories that are occupying the airwaves, really. Interestingly enough, with the DNC, as you recall, there was really no conversation at all about the unrest, nothing about, the disturbances, not a darn thing about America's cities. I mean, it's like they were in complete denial. They never brought it up. They just, no discussion at all. And now all of a sudden you see here, they've turned the light bulb on in the last many days, and they now want to say, well, we don't condone this. You could have said that months ago. I mean, we've gone far. We have fallen far from the guise of peaceful protest. That trip is over, man. I think that anybody can see that it's a fool's game. And so now you see the Democrat candidate for president, Joe Biden, come out, and he's saying that's not acceptable. He doesn't like what's going on there, the violence. And this violence is getting really, really bad. You've been seeing some of the videos potentially and some of the other signs coming out of Washington, D.C. I'll tell you, these gangs and these, let's call them what they are, domestic terrorists, And they come in all kinds of types, all kinds of colors, all kinds of different genders. And I'll tell you what, they are harassing people as people were leaving the White House and people were leaving some of the festivities up there in Washington, D.C. Well, these groups were really surrounding the people and harassing them, tormenting them in their face, really getting pretty nasty and ugly. And then you see that big, big story there with Rand Paul and his wife when they were leaving. And things were got, again, this is what happens. It gets, out of whack pretty quick. And then there's nothing peaceful about them. They become violent. And, you know, you heard Rand Paul actually talk about that. He said, listen, if it wasn't for the DC cops, I'm afraid that they would have knocked us on the ground and kicked us in the head and, you know, put us out of our misery. Maybe they wouldn't have killed us, but they would have messed us up pretty good. I'm paraphrasing, but that is pretty much what the senator said. And he was concerned for his life, he said. So this is, this is what's going to happen. Now, this banana has been unpeeled. And you're not going to put that banana back in, my friends. It's going to continue on. And that's what I mean over the next 5 months. It's going to be an interesting journey to get into this new year. This nation is going to face some grave challenges with all of this unrest. And now you see professional sports players, they're playing their charades and games. That, you know, they somehow they think they're doing Americans a favor or something. And, you know, or I don't really get the concept. It's their sport. They play it. They make the gazillions. And they say, well, we don't want to play if you don't play by our rules, if you don't, you know, accept this or acknowledge whatever it is. I don't know. Things are coming to a head. We're going to have some sort of a conversation in this nation about racial justice or whatever that looks like, you know. I mean, it's hard to speak about this if you haven't been confronted with it or you really don't know. I mean, I think they've used the law enforcement community and the cops as a complete out. I don't think it has anything to do with them, but I think there are some other underlying storylines that are playing out here that nobody is really addressing. And I do think we need to step back and look at this and try to bring heads together to say, okay, what's really going on here? And stop pointing the finger at President Trump. That's one of the things I give a lot of credit for, actually, with the RNC is, you know, a lot of strong Black American leaders, a lot of strong Black American patriots and conservatives, for that matter, were right at the top of this thing. I mean, they were speaking at the RNC. And I've seen something where Herschel Walker actually said, listen, they didn't ask me. I asked them to talk. And he even went on further to say, you know, he's lost a lot of friendships. A lot of people don't even want to talk to him anymore. How sad is that? How sick is that? That we can't even honor our American traditions, that we can't even have a conversation. It's gotten to a pretty sad state here in this nation. But I think Herschel Walker picked up on that really well. Of course, he had a very powerful speech. Quite a few of them did, actually. I was very, very impressed with the quality and the level of speakers. And more so, what I was really impressed with was the authenticity. I really felt that people were just, it shocked me. Very genuine. It's like you really hadn't seen that level of genuineness before. And it was speaker after speaker after. It wasn't just, you know, one or two. It was consecutively. It was mind-blowing, really, to me, that it was such a quality event. And it seemed like people rose to the challenge, to the moment. I think people also felt and knew that this was a historical moment in time. I remember as a young, much younger person with Ronald Reagan, just to think of those historic moments and how blessed America was with Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan. And of course, he was pretty well heavy hit too. A lot of scrutiny with him and Nancy Reagan. She was in trouble with the press. Both of them were all the time. I remember the time they had to, she wanted to get some new china for the White House, and she was under all kinds of hell for getting the new china. It's just what the press does in this country. They just do everything to make an ass out of a Republican or a patriot or a conservative. They just love to do it somehow, but yet when the other side does it, they're perfectly fine. I don't get the media in this country. I hope we all live long enough to see the day that there really is a balanced media. I hope we live long enough to see that some of this begins to turn, you know, turn to the other side, not the dark side now, but the truthful side. I just hope we all live long enough to see the fourth estate redeem itself somehow. I don't know. I'm not feeling it. I'm not seeing it. I'm not sensing it either, which is why we do what we do here at America Out Loud. And it's why there are other grassroots movements across the nation. And people feel compelled. They feel compelled to get involved, and they feel compelled to make a difference. And for some people, and certainly for myself, I can speak for, it's like a calling. I mean, it's something you feel you need to do or you have to do. And you do it with, you know, with your eyes wide open and full patriotic spirit, and really trying to bring a level of truth to the airwaves and try to bring this truth to the American people and try to connect with people out there in such a way and make a difference at the end of the day. But, you know, that's only going to come forward is if we heal as a nation and if we come together, if we take this approach that, you know, we want to be at each other's throats. And we're never going to make it if that's the case. I mean, we're always going to be this. And again, I'm not saying there's going to be some unification here. As I've stated to you in past days, I don't think there's much unification with the Marxists. I don't see that, my fellow Americans. I just don't see it. And so if that's the kind of unification they're talking about, well, let me tell you straight out, I would rather have a divided America, because I'm not interested in unification with the socialist Marxists, not interested. You know, as I've shared with you previously here, I do believe, I sincerely believe, the Democrat Party is coming to the end of their reign in America. I do believe that. I believe we're right at that. It's funny because that's exactly what happened back in the 1860s, as I've shared with you, with the Whig Party. And that's exactly what happened. There was no Republican Party back then, before Abraham Lincoln. And the civil unrest in the nation back then, and the slavery component, and what Lincoln was fighting for. You know, you think about all that, and they had a movement to young people there, the Wide Awakes, which got behind them. It's interesting in the parallel of today. The players have changed and some of the factors, but I'm talking about that big undigestible moment that the nation has, where they know they have to pull down for more strength, and they have to, you know, suck it up and figure it out. That's where we find ourselves right again right now. And at that point, the Whig Party was no more. The Republican Party was born, and Abraham Lincoln became the first Republican president in our union, our republic. That could happen right now as well. I think, depending on how these next months go, depending on how this campaign goes, and we could see the end of that Democrat Party. They could indeed self-destruct. I know many of you probably don't see that or believe it, but it could happen. And from that, the ashes, absolutely, the A Phoenix will rise. There will be another party take its place. Short of a Marxist socialist, we're okay with everything else if they want to call it whatever. They can call it, you know, the moderate party, the independent party, or some other form of party, or the Green Party, or take a number, take a picture, whatever. As long as it ain't the Marxist Socialist Party, then that's fine. And there's no new Green Deal Party either, by the way. So, but either that, something more recognizable could potentially come. And we may be at that moment in this country. We may be at that moment where, because you can see how things are playing out now. You can see just that this is, you know, not business as usual. It's not politics as usual. It's not America as usual, as about anybody will tell you. Something is up. Something's going on in the shining city on a hill. Something is happening right at this moment. And we can feel it. Everybody can feel it. And we know it. Now, we can sit down and talk about all those forces that are making that happen. But there are a lot of people who are in denial in this country. They're not accepting the fate, and they don't understand the risk. They think it's a game of some sort. We'll get more into a lot of that later, too, and some of the young folks that are losing their minds that are part of this problem, that don't even realize what they're doing, but they are maniacs and they are out of control. And without law and order, they're confronting people and scaring the hell out of them as they're just walking back to their cars. And a lot of these situations and these confrontations, there is no law and order around. You're lucky if you can find them or if they happen to be there. Again, this is what we've conditioned things for. Law and order now has backed off. The law enforcement has backed off. They're no longer out there like they were. And you're going to see that intensify as well. It's going to be a lot of intensification there, I believe. Well, a lot of interesting comments with the RNC. A lot of, again, interesting speakers I do want to talk about today. And what I want to do is let me play some excerpts. So let's hear from some of the people themselves. And there's a few interesting highlights in here I would like you to hear. And then we've got a lot to comment on. And then I've got my favorite speech I want to tell you about and share with you from somebody I really, really appreciate, a politician that I think is an amazing patriot. And I think he had one of the best speeches of the convention. Think about that. And who do you think I think it is? But I'm going to share that with you and talk about that speech as well. But let's listen into these others and we'll meet up on the other side here.
President Trump knows he inherited the first generation of Americans who couldn't promise their children a better life than their own.
The party had moved from liberal to radical. This new Democratic Party wasn't just for higher taxes. Now they were for open borders, against our police, and against our God-given rights.
At no time before have voters faced a clearer choice between two parties, two visions, two philosophies, or two agendas.
The radical left doesn't really want better policing. They don't really care about making the justice system fairer. What they want is no policing.
Biden is a Trojan horse for socialism.
He's a Trojan horse with Bernie, AOC, Pelosi, Black Lives Matter, and his party's entire left wing.
They want to defund the police and take away your Second Amendment rights. They want free health care for illegal immigrants. Yet they offer no protection at all for unborn Americans.
I recognize that my dad's communication style is not to everyone's taste, and I know that his tweets can feel a bit unfiltered, but the results speak for themselves.
He makes promises and he keeps them. He is transparent, and we certainly know what he's thinking.
We have already built 300 miles of border wall, and we are adding 10 new miles every single week. The wall will soon be complete. And I say very modestly that I have done more for the African American community than any president since Abraham Lincoln.
President Trump rectified the disparities of the 1994 Biden crime bill that disproportionately hurt African Americans.
Biden's record is a shameful roll call of the most catastrophic betrayals and blunders in our lifetime. He has spent his entire career on the wrong side of history.
We want a society where every child can live in a safe community and go to a great school of their choice.
Biden also vowed to oppose school choice and close all charter schools, ripping away the ladder of opportunity for Black and Hispanic children. And we have deported 20,000 gang members and 500,000 criminal aliens. The goal of cancel culture is to make decent Americans live in fear of being fired, expelled, shamed, humiliated, and driven from society as we know it. America will land the first woman on the moon, and the United States will be the first nation to plant its beautiful flag on Mars.
You are the reason he is going to keep fighting for four more years.
Well, it was quite the party, quite the convention, and the speeches were pretty incredible. Every day of this convention has been remarkable. Again, tale of two conventions for sure. There's nothing similar between either of them, but it plays to their strategy. And if you think about it, really probably plays more to how they'll govern. When you look at each convention and the structure of it, one has all the mask on and they look very awkward, uncomfortable. The other just goes out there and goes for the gusto. You just do the psychology in both of those conventions, and that should tell you plenty as far as how the people are thinking. There are a lot of takeaways from the last 2 weeks, really, as we now get set to get into the next phase and look forward to the first debate, we hope. One of the things we have to do in this country is to start to define certain phrases and words that are completely out of context on a consistent basis. And this is something I think we need to bring both sides to a table somewhere and define what a peaceful protest is. Let's make everybody define that. What does that look like? And I really mean it. Put it in writing. This is what constitutes a peaceful protest. Okay. Now, when it's not that, then let's call it what it is. And let's be very clear about it. And stop the game playing. And this is where we have to hold the media accountable somehow, which I know is a tall order today. But I think that's where it starts right there, is to start to define these words. Same thing with Black Lives Matter. I hear different people say them there in the speeches. And I think a lot of Americans, a good many, what percentage I don't know, but I would imagine probably half of America at least, they hear that phrase and they probably think it's some sort of a humanitarian effort to help real genuine Black lives or to do something in our urban markets or, you know, and of course, as you know, the history of this, it means nothing like that. And so this is another thing. Let's define what that is, because these radical groups are using these names. It's a bait and switch sort of thing. And they're using them under the guise of this, like a humanitarian feel good sort of movement. But yet you and I know that it's not anything of that sort. So let's define what does Black Lives Matter really mean? And because there's a lot of trickery going on. And as far as this other group goes, maybe we start to call them Black Lives Marxists, BLM. Maybe that's what, I don't know. Figure it out. But let's identify that sort of humanitarian effort over here and then separate that, the wheat from the chaff over here, to understand the criminal component of this. And that's where I also think a lot of things have to happen, is we need to get into the money trails and understand who is these organized events. There's no effort being put into that. Where's the DOJ in all of this? I mean, are they active? Are they following these groups? Do they know what's going on? I mean, they know a lot more than they're telling us, very much. But where are they in all this? I'd like to know that as well. So defining certain things, the next thing is law and order. Let's define law and order. What does that look like? And I think once we start doing that, we can then have some conversations as to what does a peaceful protest look like? What is Black Lives Matter really? And what is law and order? And the Black Lives Matter thing, I mean, that can have an impact on our cities. It can have an impact on the quality of life. And then if you're going to do that, then you almost got to start talking about abortion and things of that nature, because, you know, Black abortion is killing millions and millions of our citizens, you know. Think about it in those terms, too. Again, it's a slippery slope. There's no question about it. But you kind of really can't have that conversation about which lives matter if you don't really understand it. But I think the components of civil unrest tied to a past history of slavery, past that people are trying to relive things that happened 100 years ago, I think is making our country in a hurtful situation and painful at this moment, and probably not able to move forward in the way that we need to, in the way that we should. You know, I sometimes see and hear young Black people talk, and, you know, and they talk from a history sense of their ancestors, and you can feel the hurt in them in knowing that at one time their ancestors were actual slaves, that there's something there that has held the generation back from moving forward. And I think there are a lot of people that have not been able to shake that off. Now, listen, it's easy for a white guy, easier for a white guy to talk about some of this maybe who hasn't been in that position. But and truth be told, there's white slavery as well around the world. There's human trafficking, there's all forms of slavery. I just think in our minds, the whole Black lives and the slavery, we have allowed this to slip away from any sort of a reasonable conversation. And the problem with that is because it's being used as a political tool. And so you have to look beyond all that, because that political tool is what is causing us great harm. They're doing it under the guise of that, but it's not that at all, you see. And that's causing some really, really horrible and ugly pain for this country, for sure. Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader. So he says, and I quote, Trump inherited the first generation of Americans who couldn't promise their children a better life than their own. And there's a lot to that phrase, to that quote as well. And it's concerning to me so much that, you know, again, back at our platform, I mean, from the beginning, we say, here we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. Well, that's, you know, that says a lot to that point there that we're talking about when McConnell says, well, Trump was now becoming part of this generation of Americans who couldn't promise the children a better life than their own. Sadly, I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think in a lot of ways, right now, unless we begin to fix some of our pains and our woes, this will go down as potentially the most screwed up generation ever. And that's saying some. That in just a generation or two, we can go from the greatest generation who did all kinds of things, who created it all, who went to the moon, who created life as we know it, that we've taken for granted, to the most screwed up generation in history. That's a sad state of affairs is what that is, you know. So McConnell says that's why the president has gotten involved in the game. One of the other interesting comments and speeches I thought was the Congressman Jeff Van Drew out of New Jersey, 2nd District. I always liked this guy because he was very much a moderate in there. As you know, you recall the name, that was the Democrat who changed parties as they were trying to impeach President Trump from office. He became a Republican, and that's in New Jersey, which is a pretty blue state. In that 2nd District, he made a strategic decision. And even though he was elected as a Democrat, he knew that he could not stay with the party anymore. Well, he says, and I quote, the party had moved from liberal to radical. Well, this new Democratic Party wasn't just for higher taxes. Well, now they were for open borders, against our police, and against our God-given rights. Well, he's right. And let me tell you, Congressman Drew, Jeff Van Drew knows this firsthand. He was in a lot of those Democrat meetings. He knows how they operate. He knows what they're thinking. So he's exactly right with what he says there. And they are. I mean, you can't deny that when you read his statement there. Think of the truth in what he's saying. They're not just for higher taxes. I mean, if that's all you're worried about is taxes and spending more money, or you want to give more money to, you know, Uncle Sam because you think they can do it better than you, great, okay. But if that's all that's holding you back, maybe at one day and one time that was the way it was. We used to fight them on the simple basic things that, you know, like taxes, right? But that's no longer the case, people. Now he's saying, well, now, therefore, yeah, really a lawless society. I mean, he's saying right here, open borders, sanctuary cities, against our police. They want to defund and abolish. They don't want law and order. And a lot of them, when you catch them on the mic, they look like deer in headlights. I don't know what the hell to say, you know. and against our God-given rights. And there's a lot that fits into that call right there, God-given rights. God itself being pulled out of everything, which is really the big problem, starting with our education system and everywhere else in the manger scene that's been stripped from the local Kmart or the local neighborhood Boulevard corner. And that's been ongoing now for some time. That's been happening over the last 20, 30 years. Was that started when I was, growing up, and they were stripping everything out of everything, and you couldn't do that stuff anymore. It was really a bit bizarre that, but they were fighting that. And so this is the party. Congressman Jeff Andrew says that they moved from all that, and he couldn't live with himself anymore. He couldn't be a Democrat anymore under these conditions. Not at all. He needed a new playing field, a new platform to work off of. And he joined the Republican Party, joined President Trump, and gave his full support and endorsement. Says he will be voting for President Trump in the next election for sure. Yeah. And then again, President Trump, he says, at no time before have voters faced a clearer choice between two parties, two visions, two philosophies, or two agendas. Yeah. Biden is a Trojan horse for socialism. And he may be a Trojan horse, but the rest of the party, there's a good part of the party that they're not hiding anything. They're no Trojan horse. They're out in full daylight. They may be a horse of a different color, but a lot of them, it's not a Trojan horse. Probably more of a jackass, a donkey, you know. But this is what President Trump says about Joe Biden, and because he's trying to, and that's where Joe Biden is actually having a difficult time. He's trying to, that's where they've become a little unglued. He's trying to appease to the far swing of the party who has taken it over, a good part of the party over, is fighting with Pelosi and has been doing that steadily now. And a lot of the other people in there, there's an internal struggle in the, like I said, they may very well be coming to their conclusion, which will be a good thing for America. I mean, I'd like to see this happen now in our lifetimes so we can make the change and move on. That's all. I mean, I'm not saying it for any other reason than it's for the better for the health and well-being of our nation. But let's do this. So take a pause here. And I'm going to tell you who I think is the best speech, to me anyway, somebody I admire in the whole political spectrum here. And I'm going to share that with you. And that person right after the pause.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
The war on America's cities and claims of racism in the ranks of law enforcement have spirited a renewed debate on racial equality. It was Alexis de Tocqueville who reminded us Americans are so enamored of equality, they would rather be equal in slavery than unequal in freedom. To which I say, be warned of the shiny object, America. AmericaOutLoud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, it's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Listen to Malcolm, the Voice of a Nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Good evening. I'm Congressman Jim Jordan, representing the 4th District of Ohio. The Republican Party is the pro-America party. President Trump is the pro-America candidate. This election is about who can preserve the values, principles, and institutions that make America great. Don't believe me? Look at what's happening in American cities. Cities all run by Democrats. Crime, violence, and mob rule. Democrats refuse to denounce the mob, and their response to the chaos? Defund the police, defund Border Patrol, and defund our military. And while they're doing all this, they're also trying to take away your guns. Look at the positions they've taken in the past few months. Democrats won't let you go to church, but they'll let you protest. Democrats won't let you go to work, but they'll let you riot. And Democrats won't let you go to school, but they'll let you go loot. President Trump has fought against each of their crazy ideas. He's taken on the swamp, all of the swamp, the Democrats, the press, and the never-Trumpers. And when you take on the swamp fights back. They tried the Russia hoax, the Mueller investigation, and the fake impeachment. But in spite of this unbelievable opposition, this president has done what he said he would do. Taxes cut, regulations reduced, economy growing, lowest unemployment in 50 years, out of the Iran deal, embassy in Jerusalem, hostages home from North Korea, a new USMCA agreement, and of course he's building the wall and rebuilding our economy as we speak. I love the president's intensity and his willingness to fight every day in Washington for our families. But what I also appreciate about the president is something most Americans never get to see, how much he truly cares about people. Our family has seen it. 2 years ago, our nephew Eli was killed in a car accident. He lived a mile up the road from us, grew up wrestling and training with our boys, was a high school state champion, varsity athlete for the University of Wisconsin. It was a Saturday morning, 3 days after the accident. I walked to the car to head up to Eli's parents' home when the president called. We talked about a few issues, and then he asked how the family was doing. I said, "They're doing okay, Mr. President, but it's tough." The president said, "Yeah, losing a loved one is always difficult, and it's really tough when they're so young." I then said, "Mr. President, I'm actually walking into their house right now. Obviously, they don't know that I'm talking to you, but if you'd be willing to say hello to Eli's dad, you'd make a terrible day a little less terrible." "What's his name?" the president asked. I walked through the door and said, "Todd, the president wants to talk to you." For the next 5 minutes, family and friends sat in complete silence as the president of the United States took time to talk to a dad who was hurting. That's the president I've gotten to know the last 4 years. The president who shared private moments like this with soldiers, victims of violent crime, and people who've had businesses destroyed by the mob. That's the individual who's made America great again, and who knows America's best days are still in front of us. And that's why I'm busting my tail to help him get reelected. I'm asking you to do the same. Thank you, and God bless our country.
Well, you hear the voice there. You've been listening there to Jim Jordan. He is the congressman out of Ohio's 4th Congressional District. Congressman Jordan got that seat back in 2007. And I was thinking about this the other day that, I've been such a proponent of term limits, as you know, and trying to get that in both the House, the Senate, and I think the Supreme Court as well could stand to have the same thing. I think even key positions in these government bureaucracies of FBI, DOJ, CIA, and all these key certain types of positions, I mean, across the board, they should all be termed out. No more career bureaucrats, no more career. I'm talking right across the board. So when I tell you I mean term, I mean, let's not just hold the president to the point of accountability, whether it's a Republican, Democrat, or whoever, independent. Well, let's hold every position. And maybe that's the way we pull down the establishment by making it less comfortable or less deep statey by doing that. But I think if you really look at that and you do that with, again, the House and the Senate and the Supreme Court and all key positions in management in these districts, some people say, "Well, you're out of your mind." Well, you know what? We're out of our mind now and we're getting nowhere with it. We can't count or trust in the system we have. It's littered with abuse and all kinds of problems and leaks and people that are not loyal and trying to sink the president. And these people, they get empowered. They get fat, happy, rich, and they sit there forever. And 20, 30, 40, 50 years later, they think they own the place and they think that America owes them a living and owes them everything. rather than them serving the nation and feeling grateful. I don't think many of them do feel grateful. I don't think they feel blessed. This is a way that would change all that. So I really believe this has got to be the future, and that it's going to have to happen. We're going to have to make that happen. And again, not just one or two levels. I think across the board would do us justice at this point. But then that would make somebody like Jim Jordan not in that position, possibly. I mean, he's been in there since 07. And probably we could talk about what the rules of engagement are, how long they can stay. But at this point, he would be coming to the end of whatever that looks like. You see, whether we give him, a couple of two, three terms, or whether it's two terms of six or four terms, or however we're going to set this up, he would be coming close to that. But, here's the thing. Somebody good like that, that's quality driven, they could take another position. If you feel like you're a public servant and you're super, take another position. Run for Senate. Run for janitor. Run for whatever, mosquito catcher. Run for a cabinet position in the presidency. Do something. I pick one. I don't care. You can run for another position, but there's got to be some rules of engagement here. And so that's all right. I mean, yeah, so, because I started thinking about it, saying, well, what about those people who are doing a good job and people you really like and respect? Well, no, they all got to move on. Doesn't matter. It's just not about who we like or don't like. But anyways, in the case of Jim Jordan, I believe single-handedly he had, I if not the best speech, certainly one of the very top tiered speeches of this convention. He said so much with so few words. And he really, as he the thing about Jordan is, he speaks so succinctly, but so passionately. He's a patriot. He's a truth seeker, of course, from the Freedom Caucus, and which origins come from the Tea Party movement. And I mean, these are patriots. I'm a big fan of Jim Jordan. Big fan. I think the guy is terrific. I think a lot of these guys, but I have a lot of favorites, but Jim's one of my favorites here. And let's break down a few things that he says, because I think his speech is worth it. Again, I think this was one of the very best of the entire two conventions. This one is top here. He starts off and he nails it. I mean, there's so many great lines he has here. But let's think about what Jordan says. The Republican Party is the pro-America party. Well, I think everybody could see that. I mean, even if you're a Democrat, you're not going to be able to argue that. If you're talking about patriotism, and you're talking about pro-America or nationalism or whatever the hell you want to call it, right? Americanism, call it whatever you want. But clearly that is the case. So he's not lying. There's none of this. I didn't find any lies in any of this. But the point is, even Democrats would have to admit that. I mean, I know they may not want to, but are you going to sit and tell me your party's the pro-America party and that you're patriotic? Yeah, exactly. I don't think so. He goes on to say President Trump is the pro-America candidate. Well, not exactly a head scratcher, right? This election is about who can preserve the values, principles, and institutions that make America great. Now, that's going to be an arguable point. Both the left and the right would argue that. And I understand that because, again, the institutions, then you get into the whole bureaucracy factor. And, the left loves big government. I mean, they're all over it. They love government that can tell you how to run your life, that can spend your money, that can do whatever the hell they want to do. They're all over that. The left loves that. For whatever reason, these people live for it. It's what they get up in the morning for. It's far different than my version of what government should do. He says, don't believe me? Look at what's happening in American cities, Congressman Jordan says. Cities all run by Democrats. You notice there's no comeback for that on the other side? Do you notice they're not saying anything about that? You're not hearing anything. They can't deny it. So they don't say anything. They avoid it. That's what the left does. They avoid, they ignore. They don't want to talk about it when they have no comeback. So they don't have it. So there's no conversation there at all. There's no argument like, well, no, they're not all run by Democrats. They're run by Republicans. You don't hear that from anybody. Why? Because they know that they'd be called on the carpet immediately. That would be a 100-point Pinocchio moment here. It's not possible. They are all run by Democrats. They're all run by these local Democrat socialists or Marxists, whatever you want to call it, politicians. Crime, violence, and mob rule, he says. Democrats refuse to denounce the mob. and the response to the chaos, defund the police, defund Border Patrol, and defund our military. Well, he's right. And while doing all this, they're also trying to take away your guns. Look at the positions they've taken in the last few months. Democrats won't let you go to church, but they'll let you protest. You want to argue that with me now? I mean, they literally have shut down everything they wanted to shut down, they've shut down. And they've argued that for the reasons of the mask, but everything else is okay that creates an unlawful society or is unruly or creates fear in the populace, they support. They're okay with that. There's no conversation about the mask or the social distancing or the spitting or anything else yet. That's okay. That's their right. That's their constitutional right to, again, peaceful protest, which we need to define what that is, right? Because we know that's a bunch of crap, you see? Democrats won't let you go to work, but they'll let you riot. Well, there's been a lot of fight about that. And school, he says next. And Democrats won't let you go to school, but they'll let you go loot. I mean, kind of hard to argue that too, people. There is a big fight on the left to reopen business and to reopen school. A lot of that is to keep the economy closed down so that Trump will hurt more. And it's the same thing with the civil unrest. It's to not condone that or stay away from it. It's to let the things go and burn and edge it on the racial divide, also that they can also call it Trump's America, which is what Biden's trying right now and his handlers are doing. Well, do you like Trump's America? But see, Trump didn't create that America. This is now, we're in this purgatory moment. We're past all of that, the Make America Great thing. That happened already. That was prior November. That was back last November. We're past that now. We're in the purgatory moment of where we're going to be and what we're going to do and how we're going to be as we grow up. That's where we're at right now. And so that's where we've got some challenges now, you see, to figure out. But listen, I mean, they want to keep the schools closed. They want to keep the businesses closed. And they're in complete denial with the cities and, yeah, the looting and the violence and the burning. And you see these cracker asses in the media, these Democrat in the media with a microphone there. Flames are torched behind them. Shit's burning down by the second. And, well, things look pretty good here, Marge. Yeah, I'm right here in Kenosha here. And things look pretty, I just see a lot of peaceful, but nothing much happening here. People chasing each other around, guns firing in the background, bang, bang, flames are all over. I mean, these people are lunacy. And it's like, well, Marge, everything's cool here in the city. Yeah, man, looking good. Woohoo. Yeah, just a couple little things, a couple little skirmishes. You know, somebody got their rocks out of shape here. But everything's good. Don't worry about nothing here. Go back to, you know, fighting those evil forces of Trump, please. Everything's good. Okay, thank you very much. And then, of course, you know, Rachel Madcow or Cuomo Schmomo gets on and they start their BS, right? Oh, man. That's really all happening. Everything I just described to you is really, really happening. Now back to Jim Jordan, I think, in this outstanding speech. And he says here, he's taken on the swamp, all of the swamp, the Democrats, the press, and the Never Trumpers. And when you take on the swamp fights back. And I like the way Jordan says that. He has said that more than once. When you take on the swamp fights back. Well, we've all seen those movies with the Loch Ness Monster or some evil force coming out of the swamp there, or the deep cavernous waters, and he comes up, you know, the big swamp monster, and the swamp fights back when you piss the swamp off or the swamp monster back. You know, they don't like it. Same thing here. And I get it. I can understand that. He goes on to say the Russia hoax, the Mueller investigation, and the fake impeachment. And of course, there's a whole litany more that you know, clearly Jim Jordan could have rattled off there. But it's insanity. There's never been a moment they've allowed this president to govern. They've had him on the edge all the time. They've created every chaos, every situation, and then they'd sit there and say, oh, there's another one. There's another one over there. Look. There's another one. This president can't handle it. And then they throw more shit at him at his feet. There's another one. Can't do it. Burning the cities down. Yeah, everything's good here, Marge. Okay. Yep. Okay. Burn everything down. It's insane. And they do all this, and then it's like, you know, oh, we don't like your Make America Great Again campaign. So we're going to screw things up a little bit and get a little swampy on you. So, yeah, Jordan's right. The swamp is fighting back, without a doubt, you know. And they have tried everything against the president. That's not a talking point, my fellow Americans. It is a fact of life. It is history in the making. And we will look back at this moment in time, and it's going to be interesting that we lived at this time, and that we're going to, it's crazy. It's incredible. We'll never have another moment like this, probably. At least we hope not, pray not. But then again, it depends what comes on after this. It could be worse, and it could be better. And that's another conversation for another day we will be having, I assure you, because I have a lot of sinking feelings in here of what we need to do ahead to be sure that that we can preserve our liberty and our great nation. Well, Representative Jim Jordan goes on to say, in spite of this unbelievable opposition, the president has done what he said he would do. Again, that was a theme that you heard from many, many people, that the president delivers on his promises. If he tells you, you know, the sky is blue and he's going to deliver, the sky will be blue, he's going to deliver. He's not one of these who tell you it's, you know, avocado pink or something, you know. But he doesn't do that. He is a straight shooter talker. He's a New Yorker. He tells you what that just, I mean, I get that. He tells you what, you know, what exit to take off the highway, the interstate, get on, you know, that's the way I always see it. You know, he tells you exactly what the hell exit to get off. Taxes cut, regulations reduced, economy growing, lowest unemployment in 50 years, out of the Iran deal, embassy in Jerusalem, hostages home from North Korea, a new USMCA agreement. And of course, he's building the wall, rebuilding our economy as we speak. Now, of course, Jordan rattled those off like in a great, he always does that. I love when he does it. He'll rattle them off, bing and a 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 bing. Very, very cool. The guy's a walking encyclopedia of information, you know, for sure. Did I tell you I'm a big fan of Jim Jordan? He said, I love the president's intensity and his willingness to fight every day in Washington for our families. But what I also appreciate about the president is something most Americans never get to see, how much he truly cares about people. Our family has seen it. And so, you know, that always comes up where they want to talk about the president, his personality, for you to really understand who the president is, because the president isn't exactly who the media has portrayed. You know, the swamp monster portrays the president as a Looney Tune. And clearly, people like Jim Jordan says, well, he's not. And people around him who know him, in fact, there was another thread running through the entire convention, truth be told, is that this president is a compassionate individual. And, you know, when you listen to all those speakers and you hear their heart and their soul and their truth, I mean, I don't know how you can't come to that conclusion. I mean, if you're on the left and you want to just jump up and down and yell fire in the theater because you want to be a jackass, you go ahead and do it, but you're not convincing me. I like this next story I have to share with you before we part here. And this is from Jim Jordan. It's a beautiful story, actually. He said, 2 years ago, our nephew Eli was killed in the car accident. He lived a mile up the road from us. And then I love the story you heard Jordan talk about, that very personal story about the family, where he talked about his nephew, Eli, being killed in the car accident. And he goes ahead and he's talking to the president, he says, and I'm paraphrasing all of this, but he asked if he would talk to Eli's dad, he said. And he said if he would just talk to him and say a few words, he would like make a terrible day less terrible. That's a good way to put that, actually. I mean, you'll make a terrible day a little less terrible, because it is a good way to put it, my fellow Americans, for any of us that run into a difficult time or some challenge, because really, you know, you in a situation like this, you can never make it great. You can never wash the pain away. That's something we should all remember. If we're doing something for a fellow person, somebody we know or admire or love or a friend or whatever, and that whatever that gesture or that moment is, you're potentially making a terrible day a little less terrible. I mean, it's still going to be terrible, still going to be bad, but there's something to that. I think that's a beautiful thing, you know. And so he goes and says, he walked through the door and he talked to the whole family and stayed on there for a while, as you heard. I think for the next 5 minutes or so, they were talking to the president of the United States and just having a real conversation, he said. And Jordan ended with the president who shared private moments like this with soldiers, victims of violent crime, and people who've had businesses destroyed by the mob. That's the individual who's made America great again and who knows America's best days are still in front of us. And that's why I am busting my tail to help get him reelected. I'm asking you to do the same. Thank you, and God bless our country. You know, that's Jim Jordan, Representative Jim Jordan out of Ohio. He is he's a statesman. He's a patriot, and I think he had potentially, in my world, the very best speech that had such practical conversations in there, but really hit the mark, hit a lot of nerves in there, actually, for me. I'd argue that it would probably be the best one of the entire 2 weeks of conventions. And if it isn't the very, very top, it's certainly in the top 5 for me. It's in the very tip, tip top. So anyways, I don't know what you think or what your favorite speech is, but you can share it with me at liberty@americaoutloud.com. If you have a thought or an idea, liberty@americaoutloud.com. Have I told you we love liberty here at America Out Loud? We absolutely do, my fellow Americans. I know you do as well. It's going to be an interesting season ahead here. I'll tell you, these next many months, we'll be with you every step of the way. And I always appreciate you being here with me. And I thank you for your time and being with me on the mission, my fellow Americans. It's time to get involved and get loud.